Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Kuftenu and Bet by the two dots. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shua ben Prachia. Over here, there's a major issue with the Girsa. Our Girsa reads one way, but it seems to be that almost everybody had an alternative Girsa that did not read this way. The way our Girsa reads is, B'tchila kolomer ala la, ani kofato v'nado lifnei ari. Ta kolomer li le'ered mimena ani matil alav kumkum shel chamin. So that's the Girsa that we have, which we'll explain in a second. The original Girsa, which seems to be Nafutz Bechola Tavyad, which is that everybody had this Girsa, and Tosos even here mentions that they had such a Girsa, which was B'tchila, in the beginning, Kol Ohomer Ola O Mincha. Anybody who took a Neder to bring an Ola O Mincha, and then it would skip over Matil Olav Kumkum Shel Chamin. We used to pour hot water on him. So the objection being that these people were taking the Darim, they didn't have the item in hand, they didn't have the Olar Mincha in hand, and there was a chance that either they couldn't purchase it, or that they wouldn't be Mekayim the Neder. And so Rabbi Yeshua ben Brachi objected to them taking the Darim that would obligate them to bring items. Do it as a Nidava, not as a Neder, and therefore you'll ensure that you don't fail in accomplishing what you're supposed to do. So that was the original Girsa. But then there's an amazing story that the Rabbeinu Klunmus, Aviv Shal Rabbeinu Meshulam, on his deathbed, he giak lashon, and then he was magia, the lashon here, in three places in Shas. So shlosh adrim higia, kimipi nevuah b'shat p'tirato. On his deathbed, as the neshama was going out, it was magia three places in the Gemara which don't make sense, and he changed the girsa. One of those is our Gemara over here. And therefore, based on that change that Rabbi Kolonimus suggested, we have what we have in our Gemara now. The problem with
he changed it to what we have?
Yes, correct. He changed it to what we have. The problem with the original Girsa was that it was a non sequitur. Over here, we were talking about the problems of power and how power corrupts and the story of Shimi and Chonyo. And then all of a sudden here, it's talking about Neder and Olan. It's just out of context. It should have been with the other Gemaras. So that's one of the major problems with that Girsa. But the way the amended Girsa reads, it makes a lot more sense, which is B'tchila, Kol Mer Ala La. In the beginning, Rabbi Shua ben Brachia says, anybody said to me that I should go and be seated in power, I should take a position of responsibility and power, and he kol fatov and adol lifnei ari, so tie him up and put him in front of a lion, meaning that there was a lot of easy harm was going to come from it, and I didn't want to be involved. I didn't want to take any position of power. Then the second statement is, Ata, now, Kolomer Li Le'ered, after I already had come to a position of power, and somebody says to me that I should forego this power now, or I should give up my position of leadership, then he says, Ani Matil Alav Kumkum Shel Chamim, now I pour hot water over him. So the same idea, this would make a lot of sense in terms of the sequence of the Gemara. The previous Gemara discussed the fact that how power can really hurt one's perspective, can make some people do things that they otherwise wouldn't do. And then this Gemara is a continuation of that, which is Rabbi Shua ben Brachia says, at first he said that he would distance himself from power. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. Just like Chonyo had said that he would forgo taking the Kuna Gdola in favor of his older brother Shimi. But in the end, Chonyo came around and said, no way, no how. And he tried to do the whole trick to get his brother to lose out on the Kuna Gedola, despite his motives in the beginning, which were pure. So to over here, Shimon Yabrachia says, in the beginning, I didn't want it. But then once I got a hold of it, I didn't want to let go of it. And so the idea, again, being expressed by the Gemara, is that one has to be very careful from positions of power and positions of responsibility. Because with those privileges comes responsibility. And it's not just a position of privilege. And that's many times what makes people hold out and not want to give up on those positions. And on the other hand, they have to recognize that there's a huge amount of responsibility that comes with those privileges. Sharei, and how do I know that's true? Sha'ol barach mimena. In the beginning, Sha'ol had no interest in being the king. Ukshala, but once he did become king, bigesh laroga David. He decided, when he knew that he possibly could lose the kingdom to David, he went after David to kill him because he thought he possibly could lose the kingdom. But at first he was an anav me'od, and he didn't want to take the kingship whatsoever. And then afterwards, he wants to hold on to it with all his might.
This makes sense.
According to the girsa that we have, correct. And according to the other girsa, I don't know how they would fit in this statement, or if it was there at all. Samarle mark shisha b'rei d'Rav Chista d'Abaye. Rabbi Meir ha'ikro d'Rabbi Yehuda. What is he, ma'avidli? What does Rabbi Meir do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda? The pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda was that there will be a mizbeach in Mitzrayim l'shem Hashem. So he uses that to say that Beit Chonyo was l'shem Shemayim and not a Avodah Zarah. But Rabbi Meir, who said that Beit Chonyo was a Avodah Zarah, what does he do with the puzzle from Yishayahu? Says the Tanya, לאחר מפלתו של סנחריב, יצא חזקיה ומצא בני מלאכים שיושבים בקרונות של זהב. That is, after the fall of Sennacherib, Chizkiah went out and he found the princes that were sitting in these golden chariots, Hediran, Shalom, Lavod, Avodat Kochavim. Because of the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that was created by the defeat of Sennacherib at the gateways of Yerushalayim, that Hashem had saved Yerushalayim from the hands of Sennacherib, something that no other nation was spared, no other city was spared. So based on that Kiddush Hashem, Chizkiah goes ahead and has these princes take a neder that they will not worship as Rosh Hashanah. Vayomahu yiyu chamesh arim beretz Mitzrayim. On that day there will be five cities in Eretz Mitzrayim. Midabrot Sfat Kanan, speaking the language of Kanan. Now Sfat Kanan, as Rashi points out, Sfat Yisrael, Yoshvim beretz Kanan. They're not, they were speaking Canaanite. They were speaking Hebrew. They were from Kanan. Vin nishbaot l'Hashem tzvakot, and they take shua, they worship Hashem. So, Alchu l'Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, these princes went and set up shop in Alexandria of Mitzrayim, u'banu mizbeach. Ba'lu alav l'shem shamayim. And on that mizbeach, they were makrib l'shem shamayim. So we just read Pasuk Yudchet in Yishayahu, and then Pasuk Yudtet is the Pasuk, which Yehu Rabbi Yehuda had quoted for his proof about Beit Chonyo. Here Rabbi Meir is using it based on the Baraita, Shneamar, Ba'yomahu yeh mizbeach l'shem betoch eretz Mitzrayim. That was the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Yishayahu, that there will be a Mizbeach L'Hashem Mitarach Mitzrayim. And then this is going backwards. We just read Pasuk Yutet. This is the second half of Pasuk Yutet from the previous Pasuk that we read about the five cities of Mitzrayim. And there it says, Ir HaHeres Ye'amer Le'achat. One of those five cities will be called Ir HaHeres. My Ir HaHeres Yomar Le'achat Kimidargim Rabbi Yosef. As Rabbi Yosef translated it into Aramaic, Karto de Beit Shemesh. We call the city of the sun, that did the mecharev, that in the future will be destroyed. It amer davia chada min hom. That was said about that, these five cities, that was one of those cities. Umay de'ira heres lishna de shimshahi. How do you know, or how do you know the translation of the word heres is actually, it means the sun, dichtiv. It says in Iyov, haomer la heres velo yizrach. When it speaks to the heres velo yizrach, and it will not rise. So obviously, it's talking about the sun, even though it's spelled with a chet and not a hey. Nevertheless, the Gemara sees a parallel between them. Havi vanai merachok uvenatai mikzei haaretz. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the edges of the earth. Havi vanai merachok amaravuna ila galiyot shel belvel. These are those that were exiled to Bavel. Shedatan yushevet alehem kibanim. That they were well settled in Bavel, like boys. Ubenotai mikzei haaretz, the girls who are at the edges of the earth, elu galiot shoshar haratzot, those are the exiles in other parts of the land, she'ein da'atan yushevet aleihem kebanot, that they are a little more volatile and a little less settled like the girls are. And Rashi claims, what's the difference between them? It says, b'nei bavel en lem omachut, kishar galiot shekol haratzot. And all the other haratzot, they had the problem of the rulership of those countries. They had difficulties in those countries. B'nai Bavel, in general, gave the Jews autonomy over their religious matters, and even they had their own somewhat civil organization there, and therefore the Jews lived very well in Bavel, and obviously contributed to the fact that they didn't return after the time of Ezra, because things were good for them, both in Babylonian rule later on in the Persia and Media. Then the Jews were autonomous in those areas and enjoyed great growth in terms of both their communities and the Torah learning in those areas. So Amar Rabbi Abba bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Chista, Varmila Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Mitzur Vard Kartagani, from Tyre until Carthage. So over here we're talking about Carthage, which is on the northern Mediterranean coast of Africa. It's by the modern-day city of Tunis. It's the precursor to Tunis in Tunisia. It was a large city. It was a large Phoenician empire, Carthage. It seems to be, or the legend has it, that about 850 BCE, that there was a breakaway, a split in the monarchy of Tyre, based on a brother and a sister who had inherited the throne, and the brother killed his sister's husband and threw her out, and she went and established Carthage. But it was a large empire, which was eventually defeated by the Romans. But there were several wars. There were three wars between Carthage and Rome, and they succeeded almost in pushing Rome out of Italy at one point in time, but eventually they lost. But they really ruled over. They had a tremendous rule over the Mediterranean Sea, and they had spawned a huge navy, and they were huge maritime traders and controllers of the Mediterranean area. So the Gemara says here that Mitzur ad Carthage, from Tyre until Carthage, which would be the span of the Phoenician dominion. So they makirim et Yisrael v'taviyem shemayim. They know about Klal Yisrael, and they also know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now they know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't mean they necessarily worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they know about him, and they even try. They might do it derech other mediums and other ways, but they, in truth, they believe that they are worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzur kalfei marav, from Tsur to the west, Umikartigani Kalfi Mizrach, from Carthage to the east, Ema Kirimat Israel, Veloat Aviyam Shibashamaim. They don't recognize Klal Yisrael and not their father in heaven. The problem with this is that Tyre is up in Lebanon, and the Carthage is out by Tunis in the Mediterranean. That means anything east of Carthage is in the area that we just said that's between Tyre and Carthage. Anything west of Tyre is going towards Carthage.
But both of them is the ocean.
It's right. It's the ocean, but it's also anything in between. It's going the wrong way. It's staying in the same area. So there are those that change the girsa, which would make a lot of sense, that the girsa would be Mi Tsur La Mizrach, from Tsur to the east, and from Kartigani La Ma'arab to the west, would make a lot more sense. Because that would be west of Tunis and east of Tyre, and that would make a lot more sense in the Gemara here.
That landmass is west, and then down east going towards...
So you're saying at their north and south locations, then west of Tyre and east of Carthage would be the areas that the Gemara is speaking about now. Okay, it's a possibility. It seems unlike the Gemara's first statement was that they know Klal Yisrael and they know about their God, and then the east ones did not know. And now east of Carthage is Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense that those areas did not know about the Jews and did not know about Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it makes much more sense to say it's up in Tyre, east of Tyre, and west of Carthage, which were areas that did not have as much exposure to the Jews. And just noting it, Eitvei Rav Simi Bar Chia L'Rav. So based on that statement, Rav Simi Bar Chia asked Rav, don't we have a pasuk in Malachi Aleph, which is actually the Haftorah for Toldot? Pasuk starts ki. It's ki mi mizrach shemesh armavo, kadosh mi bagoyim, mokom makom, muktar, mugash, lishmi, umencha Torah. So the pasuk seems to indicate mi mi mizrach shemesh armavo, from all the way in the east where the sun rises until it's coming, meaning all the way in the west, kadosh mi bagoyim, my name is known amongst the nations, in any location they are worshiping to me, and they are bringing Mincha Torah, that they're worshiping a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amalei Simiat. Simi, are you the one that they call the Great One in all locations? That's one way to read it. Meaning that you're the one who always asks me the great questions, and you're on the top of the class. This is the question that you're asking me. So Rashi brings an alternative over here. V'yesh Omrim, Rav Elo Yosef Kefei Nav. Rav did not lift up his eyes. El kufshan kosham mikom or mishum tzniut. He didn't lift up his eyes because of tzniut. We have a similar story by Rabbi Yochanan when he got older. He also didn't open up his eyes, but that was because of the weight of his eyelashes. They didn't open them up. But either way, Rav was very tzniut, so he couldn't see who it was. So he was asking, Simiat? Instead of saying that he knew it was Simi and saying, wow, this is you, Simi, asking this question, rather he was saying, is that you, Simi? The one that always asks good questions, is that you who's speaking now? Either way, his response is, right? I didn't mean that they don't have any other gods that they worship. I mean that they think that God is the God of all gods. That's what I meant over here. I didn't mean to say that they didn't understand or they don't know about God. In these locations, they read God as the ultimate God. The Mefarshim read that in one of two ways. If these people in those outer-lying areas who knew that God was the God of all gods, yet they did not fear him, they did not acknowledge him whatsoever. Others, on the other hand, read it that they understood that God was Elokad Eloka, but they rather had this Aristotelian view of the world, which is, yes, God empowered the other gods to work, but then he was not Mashkiach, he's not involved in the world anymore, there's no Ashkacha Pratit. He left the world to those other gods to work with. So either way, that's the explanation of Elokad Eloka. They have some recognition of God, whether that's just a recognition or a knowledge that there is such a concept called God out there, but they have no acknowledgement and no relationship to it, or even if they do have that relationship and they recognize that God is the ultimate prime mover, nevertheless, they don't believe that he is Mashkiach on this Olam. And that's because they had limited exposures to Jews. The areas between Sidon and Carthagani, between Carthage and Tyre, were areas where the Jews were very involved in the trade, and there were Jewish communities around those areas because of the trade that existed. And therefore, those nations were aware of the Jews, as well as of their God and their relationship with God, and that had influence on those that were around them. So Gemara says, "V'chol makom mugdar mugash lishmi." V'chol makom sakadatcha. You think everywhere? How could it be everywhere? There's only the Mikdash where you're makriv and mukhtar to Hashem. What do you mean, v'chol makom? So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yochanan, edu tamidei chachamim oskim b'Torah v'chol makom. These are tamidei chachamim that learn Torah in all places. Malei ani aleihem kilu maktirim u'magishim lishmi. It's as if they are bringing korbanot and bringing minachot and incense to me. What's mincha Torah? Zeh lomid Torah b'tahara. This is one who learns Torah b'tahara. What does that mean? Nosei isha v'achar kach lomid Torah. First he gets married, and then afterwards he learns Torah. This happens to be a Gemara that's brought up in Kiddushin and other places, where the Gemara brings down a machloket, whether one should get married first and then learn Torah, or the opposite, one should learn Torah and then get married because of the same way Chaim ben Savaro v'yasuk b'Torah. How could he be married and have the obligations of family and wife and be learning Torah? The Gemara in those places answers each time, halan haluhu. Difference is between B'nai Bavel and B'nai Eretz Yisrael. That one place it was better to get married first, another place it was better to learn first. Rashi and Tosafot argue in both those locations about halan haluhu, which is which. Which is B'nai Bavel and which is Eretz Yisrael. Because they argue about what the halan haluhu is. It's a little quote over here, but it's a much bigger piece. Tosos actually makes mention of it, that in other places there's a machloket about this. So now the Gemara continues and says, Shir ma'lo, t'inei barchut Hashem, b'chol avdei Hashem, omdim b'vet Hashem b'lelot. My b'lelot? What does it mean at night time? So Rabbi Yochanan, elu tamid chachamim oskim b'torah b'layla. Malei alein ha-katuv kilu oskim b'abudah. Anybody who's learning Torah at night, it's as if they're doing avodah in the Mikdash. That's why it's b'vet Hashem b'lelot. Lo'olam zot al Yisrael. This should always be there, be steadfast for Klal Yisrael. And truthfully, they're just quoting the end of the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. The pasuk begins, Hine ani buneh bait l'shem Hashem elukai l'ikadesh lo l'haktir l'fanav. It's talking about bringing korbanot. And then it says, l'olam zot Yisrael. This will be forever for Klal Yisrael. So what do you mean forever for Klal Yisrael? The Mikdash is not always around. So why does it mean that it'll be forever for Klal Yisrael? So I'm Rabbi Gidom Rav Zem Zbeach Banui Michal Tzar Hagadol Omeid Omakriv Alav Korban. This is the great Mizbeach, and Michael, the great Tzar up in the heavens, is standing there in Makriv Alav Korban. Obviously, he's talking about the Mizbeach and Shamayim that's connected to the Mizbeach down below. And we're referring to that this will always be in service. That Mizbeach will always be there. So Tosfos over here brings down two interpretations about this and has implications of Halacha, and we'll just speak about it for a second here, which is Midrashot Chalukim Yesh. We have Machloket de Midrashim, Tosfot says. Yesh Misha Omer Nishmotayim Shal Tzadikim. What is Michael Makriv on this Mizbeach? So one Midrash says that it's the Nishamot of the Tzadikim that is Makriv. V'yesh Misha Omer Kvasim Shal Esh. And he brings on there sheep made out of fire. Fiery sheep that he's makriv on them. And that's the reference to the Yishe Yisrael that is in Ritzei. Utfilata mehira bavat kebel b'ratzon. V'yeshomrim dekai adel'el. And some say that it goes on the statement before, which is Hashevet avodat vir betecha v'yishe Yisrael. And he says, Lomatzati yoter. The tour brings this down when he talks about Ritzei l'alacha. It's interesting that the minhag in Sfarad was that they nogim b'Sfarad shalolomar Ritzei b'mincha, that they didn't say Ritzei at mincha, ella matchil b'yishei Yisrael. They only started from Yishei Yisrael. They didn't use the word Ritzei at mincha time. Fein katav Rav Shvira gon lomar Ritzei Hashem lekenu minhag kasher katav Rav Sadja she'in omrim oto b'mincha ela b'mincha shel taniyot. The only time they said Ritzei was in a mincha of taniyot. If you say it all the time, it's not good. Says on Yom Kippur, but even though they didn't have Nesiyat Kapayim, nonetheless they said Ritzei. The Torah writes, I have no idea where this minhag came from. He speculates that the minhag was connecting it to Nesiat Kapayim, because the Gemara says in Sota that Kol Kohen Sheino Oker Al Klav Viretzei is Eino Ola LeDuchan, that you're not allowed to go up and give the bracha or Bikat Kohanim unless you're Oker Al Gav, unless the Kohen starts to walk towards the Duchan at the prime of Viretzei. So the suggestion is that this minhag came out of the fact that people, the Akirat Raglaim, the Kohanim was at Ritzei, so when they didn't have Nesiat Kapayim, they didn't say Ritzei. But he writes, Ma Kesher, Ritzei is about asking Hashem to accept our tefillah. What does it have to do with the Kohanim? Whether they say it or don't say it is irrelevant in terms of the Kohanim. And then he brings down what Tosu says, V'yishe Yisrael, V'alfopi she'in ata avuda, even though today we don't have avoda, mitpalalim ala tefillah, she'ibim makom karban. We ask that our tefillah, which is makom karban, she'tekabel biratzon lifnei Hashem yitbarach, that it should be accepted for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why we say, V'yishe Yisrael utfilatam ba'ahava tekabel biratzon, that Hashem should accept Yishe Yisrael utfilatam, that's what we're asking here, that the Yishe Yisrael, which is our tefillah, should be accepted by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ubemidrash, middle explanation is, Yesh Michael Sar Gadol, Makrib Nishmatan Shel Tzadikim Al Mizbeach Shel Malo, that's our Gemara over here, V'azeh Tiknu V'yishe Yisrael, that the meaning of Yishe Yisrael over here is not that Hashem should return the avoda and our tefillahs and accept them. Rather, the Yishe Yisrael is mamish, anshe Yisrael, like the Michael Sar Michael, like Tosus brings over here. V'yesh mifarshim oto mashal amalim menu. And then some say that it connected above, which is v'achi perusho v'ashevet avoda v'irbitecha v'yishe Yisrael. Utzvilatam is a new statement. Utzvilatam b'tukabel b'ratzon t'kalat tabarhu is another statement. So this question of what the Yishe Yisrael, the Torah brings down three interpretations. The first one is, Yishe Yisrael utfilatam, that it's the tefillah and the karbanot that you should accept, because the tefillah is b'makom karban. The second interpretation is that it refers to our Gemara over here, that's Michael bringing the Anshe Yisrael as karbanot, nishmaton shel tzadikim, and that's what we say, that Yishevet avod avir b'techa, Yishe Yisrael utfilatam, Yishe Yisrael is the mamash, Anshe Yisrael, should be accepted, because they're the karbanot of Anshe Yisrael that are in place on the Mizbeach. The last interpretation is that Yishe Yisrael is connected to the previous statement, which is, Hashem Avodah Vir B'techa B'Yishe Yisrael, return our avoda and the Karbanot, and then Utfilatam B'Avat Kabel B'Ratzon is a new start of a new statement. The Taz on that says, I don't understand, says the first interpretation that says, first we said, Ritzei Hashem L'Kenu B'Am Chayisah B'Tfilatam, Hashem Avodah B'Vir B'techa, and then you say, Yishe Yisrael Utfilatam. So why do you need Yishe Yisrael Tfilatam? You already just said, Ritzei Hashem L'Kenu B'Am Chayisah B'Tfilatam. It says, Al Perish HaRishon Kasheh Kafel Utfilatam. Because why are we saying tefillah twice? So what are you going to say? No, Yishe Yisrael tefillatam. That the Yishe Yisrael should be, their tefillah should be the Yisrael. It's defining what the tefillah is, Yishe Yisrael. Our tefillah should be like Yishe Yisrael. It says then you shouldn't have the vav, utfilatam. It should have just said Yishe Yisrael tefillatam. Why say utfilatam? He makes one suggestion that there are two types of tefillah. There's tefillah bismano and tefillah shelo bismano. One of them is covering the tefillah bismano, that's Yishe Yisrael tefillatam, which is the one compared to karbanot. And then the other one is Utfilatam Tavat Kabel was one's way to Shlo Bizmano. He says he doesn't love that interpretation. Then he says on the last interpretation, Say Hashem Akem Bam Chayza Utfilatam by Shevet Avod and Bibi Tech of Vehishe Yisrael. So there he says, wait, on that, a perish bachelor, Kashalam Levi Shay Yisrael, Kevin Shakar Zachar Avodah. What if I Shevet Avod of the Bibi Tech of Vehishe Yisrael? You already said the Avodah. What do you need to say, Yishe Yisrael? So therefore, the Taz, Akem Perisha Emtsayu Amuvchar Shabukulam. The middle interpretation is the right one, which says it's referring to the Anshe Yisrael. It's referring to the Michael Tzar Hashemayim that is being makriv, the Nishmatan Shel Tzadikim al Mizbeach. Therefore, it's a totally different thing. Because then the Yishe Yisrael is different from the Avoda, and you can separate out the statements. Yishe Yisrael Tfilatam, that's a separate statement than the first part, which is talking about the Avoda and Tfila. So that would be the one that he favors. On the other hand, the Gra favors Vayikar Kaper Shacharon, because like the last perish, the big difference will be how you read the Ritzei. Because according to the Gra, you should read Ritzei, right, where you put the comma. According to the Yitzim, Shevet Avodah Vir B'techa V'Yishe Yisrael, comma, Tfilatam B'Avat Tekabel B'Ratzon. On the other hand, according to the Torah, and the first interpretation that he brings, it should be, V'Yishe Yisrael Tfilatam B'Avat Tekabel B'Ratzon. So that actually makes a difference where you put the pause in the statement according to these interpretations. But here it has halachic implications in terms of the Sar Michael. Then the next statement of the Gemara, this is Gemara that we saw when I did the introduction to Menachot, but all these Gemaras, which is, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, What does it mean that that Olam Zot Yisrael, that we will always have our Karbanot, we'll always have the Mikdash and the Mizbeach? That the Talmid Chachamim that are dealing with Hilchot Avodah, it's as if the Mikdash was built in their time. What does it say in the Torah? Zot Torah La'olah L'mincha L'chatat L'Hashem, a pasuk that we quoted many times. Whoever is involved in Torah, Zot HaTorah. So therefore, anybody who's sick with Torah, even if he was makriv b'mincha chatat v'asham. Now, what was the alternative? The question is, what would you have had an alternative? Rashi over here claims that you could have written the word chukah instead of Torah. So the Gilyan Ashas, so the Kiv Eger, points you back to the Gemara on Daf Yutet. Over there, the Gemara says Torah and chukah are both la'akev. Whenever the Torah uses the word Torah, chukah means la'akev. So the point he's making is that maybe they're interchangeable. Torah and chukah can do the same function. They can make something la'akev. So it could have said Zot HaChukah LaMincha LaChatat LaHashem instead of saying Zot HaTorah. So the fact that it's Zot HaTorah comes to teach you that the Lima of the Torah is that way. So Amar Rava, Hai Le'ola LaMincha. The Pasuk says Zot HaTorah La'ola LaMincha with a Laman in front of it. According to you, it should be Zot HaTorah. Then it should say Ola UMincha MiBayaleh. It shouldn't say Le'ola LaMincha. But rather it should say Zot HaTorah. Ola, if you do the Torah, then it's an Ola Mincha. What's the leh here? Ela Marava Kolosek B'Torah Inu Tzarich Lo Ola. The Ola, that's what it means. The leh over here means that I don't need it. Zot HaTorah, if I have Torah, Lo Ola, Lo Mincha, Lo Chatat. It's a conjugation of Lo and the word. I don't need a Chatat, I don't need a Mincha, I don't need an Asham, because I'm Osek B'Torah. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, my dechtiv, Zot Torah Tachatat. Why is the Torah, when it talks about each of the parashas, Zot Torah Tachatat, Zot Torah Tasham, whoever gets involved learning the Torah of the Chatat, it's as if he was makriv a Chatat. Anybody who's sick in Torah Hashem, it's as if he was makriv an Hashem. So now the last Mishnah of Agadato, again we quoted this earlier when we started the Masechta, Nemer Bolat Behema, which is the first Olah mentioned in Parshat Vayikra, Yishei Reach Nichoach LaHashem. It says Bolat Of, which is the next Parsha of the Olah in Vayikra, Yishei Reach Nichoach LaHashem. Omemincha, the last parsha of the voluntary offerings there of the olot, which is the olat beima, olat of, and then the mincha, it says, Yishei reach nichoach l'ashem, lo lo amar lecha, to teach you the important principle of echad amarbe, echad amabit, it doesn't matter how much you bring or how little you bring, uvad, shitkavin libodo shamayim, as long as your heart is towards heaven. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the same reference and the same feeling towards the greatest olah of a behema and to the least of the olot, to the mincha, he gives them the same quote, which is say, Reach Nichoach Hashem, they're the same pleasing offering before Hashem, to show you that even though the Ashir brings a big one and the Ani brings the small one, Hashem is equally pleased with that of the Ani, because as long as he's Mekaven Libod HaShemayim. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, my Kara, where's the board we learned this from? What Pasuk? It says, Mutuka Shnat HaOveid, the laborer's sleep or slumber is wonderful, whether little or a lot. Yochel, he will always eat. So over here, the pasuk that we read just now continues and says that the one who has home, one who has a lot of wealth, never sleeps well, because he's always worried about his possessions, he's always worried about what's going to happen. The laborer doesn't worry about these things. All he has to do is get up and work, and he gets his salary, and he'll be happy, he'll eat. Doesn't matter what the production of the field is, he just goes to work, gets his money, and he'll get paid. He always will eat. So therefore, he sleeps well. So the same idea here, that it's im'at, im'harbeh. A lot or a little, yochel, he'll always be eating. So the same thing here by us. Echad im'harbeh v'chavameit, v'achikaveh nebelu shemayim. Rabbi Abba me'achos, from this pasuk, v'rabato tova, rabu achlea. And there's lots of, when it's bountiful, there are many people coming to feed. Makisharon the balav, and what's the benefit to the owners? I mean, what benefit does the owner get from it? Because the more he gets, the more that there are those that he has to feed, the more that are relying on him. So the same thing here, the idea that it doesn't matter how much you bring, a lot or a little, the same benefit is derived to the balim. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Borek Makti b'Parshat Karbanot. What does it say about Parshat Karbanot? Shonemar behen lokel, lokel elukim el Hashem. The terminology or the Shem Hashem that is used in all the Parshiyot HaKarbanot is the Shem Hashem, and never uses Kel and Elukim. It's in order to quiet or silence any of those that believe that there are multiple deities out there, there are multiple gods. Because had you used different Shemot Hashem, then people said, oh, this carbon's for that god, this carbon's for this god. So instead, Hashem used a consistent name of Hashem throughout all the carbonot to show that there's only a singular god, and all the carbonot go to that god. Benemar b'shur agas, because it says by the shur agas, yishei reach nechalach l'Hashem. Uba'of adak, yishei reach nechalach l'Hashem. Mincha yishei reach nechalach l'Hashem. Nomar lecha echad amarbeh, v'chad amabid. Which is our Mishnah over here. So before we go on, we mentioned this also in previous times. We mentioned this. The Ramban quotes our Gemara in his explanation of the reason of the Karbanot. He says, in this pasuk is the reason behind all the Karbanot. And what does he quote? Shehem ishei reyach nicholach l'Hashem. That's the reason behind the Karbanot. Ve'yotera uy lishmoa tam shomrim bahem. Should listen carefully to the real reason of the Karbanot. Man is, all of his actions are run by thought, speech, and then action. When a person sins, he should bring a Karban. Should do tzmich on it to rectify or to get kapara for his actions. And then he'll do vudui with his mouth, kenegad dibur, that he was mistaken or had sinned with. And burnt on the mizbeach is the kerev klayot, shem klayam machshava v'ta'ava. Those are the drivers of machshava, of thought and desire. V'akrayim kenegad yadav raglav, and the legs of the animal, kenegad your hands and your legs. Shaladam osim kol machto, that do his actions or his bidding. When they'll throw the blood on his back like the blood of his own blood. A person will think when he's doing all this, he sinned to God with his body and his soul. That his blood should be spilled on his back. Except for the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelakach mimenu tmura. He takes this replacement, this korban, v'chiper korban hazeh. Sheidamo tachat damo, nefesh tachat nefesh. That he replaces this human being. V'rsheyev rei korban k'neg v'rsheyev harav. V'manot achayot behem orei Torah shipalel alav. And the matnot kahuna are to feed those that teach Torah so they should daven on his behalf. V'korban tamid, in the korban tamid of the tzibur, v'vorsh lo yensluah rabim v'chato tamid. Because everybody sins. Everybody sins all the time, and therefore the Karban Tamid takes care of them. What I just said are so compelling, and they draw your heart like words of Agada. And then he quotes, Derech Emet, Yesh B'Karbanot Sod Ne'alam, is a big secret to the Karbanot. Tikanes Mashamru Rabbeinu B'Sifri U'Besof Menachot Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Our Gemara over here. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Azai Boreg Makti beParashat Hakavanot. Shloner Mehem Lo Kel Velo Kelukecha Lo Lokim Velo Shakai Velo Tzvakot El Yudke Shem HaMiyuchad. Why does it have that? So the Ramban explains over here, at the, towards the end of that Ramban, it's found in Vayikra Perek Aleph Pasuk Tet. This is where this Ramban's found. The end, he says, "Vazvicha L'Shem Hashem Levado." That the zvicha is to Hashem alone. Shlo itkaven ledavar acher beolam rak l'Shem Hashem Levado, to Hashem and nothing else. V'zeh tamolahu. Ishehu. Lakach amar katub ki teshe Hashem lechem lokeim heim akivim vayu kodesh. Kedi she Hashem karbana lokeim. Kach amru shlo diskir betzav od shel karbanot. Lokel velo kelukim velo reach ni lo ishei reach nichol Hashem. Ki akavana la Hashem levado tiyeh. It has to be to Hashem alone. Lo ikavina makiv lo yalev machshoto rak l'Hashem amyuchad. So that idea that she kavin libo l'shamayim. That the idea is that it's Hashem levado, you have no ulterior motives, you have nothing else in mind, it's simply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, that's the individual. The individual who's bringing this Karban and it's really replacing him, has to see himself as being Mukrav Lashem, that your life is dedicated to Lashem levado, to Yudke levado, and that's why they use the shame Yudke Vodke. Soloveitchik plays on this Ramban, it's both in Alatshuva and Bira Rav Halato. It's found in that memra in the Alatshuva. It's also in the Machzor, the Rosh Hashanah. They quote it, it's small by the Akedat Yitzchak. They quote this memra from Alatshuva and other places, but it's in English there, so I'll just read it to you. It takes up this. The story of the binding of Isaac, the Akedah, is based on the concept of unconditional self-sacrifice. From one perspective, Judaism does not reject the idea behind human sacrifice per se. The Torah unequivocally renounces human sacrifice based upon Hashem's midat ha-chesed. But his midat ha-din, the quality of strict justice, however, would indeed have dictated it. The name of God that appears throughout the story of the Akedah is thus Elukim. By Akedah, Yitzchak can only use the Shem Elukim, the name that represents Midat Adin. Only after the angel stops Abraham from harming Yitzchak does the name Yudke Vavke appear, representing Midat Achesed, appear in the story for the first time. Up until then, the quality of strict justice had prevailed, according to which Abraham had no right to his son Yitzchak, nor derive any pleasure from his offspring. His son, in a sense, did not belong to him. The order to sacrifice him then was one which had to be fulfilled without reservations. In a world of strict justice, the only acceptable behavior is for a man to sacrifice himself, as he is entitled not even to his most elementary right, the right to his own self, and not to his own offspring. In Al-Tshuva, he mentions over here this idea that by the Karbanot, therefore, the Shem Hashem that is used is only Yudke Vavke, because Karbanot are all Midat HaChesed. Really, you should end up on the Mizbeach. It should be you that's there, Mitzad Sri Midat Adin. And it's only because of a Kodesh Baruch Hu who is Midat HaChesed of Yudke Vavke that Hashem allows us to bring the Karbanot instead of us. And that's why, playing on this Ramban, he mentions our Gemara and the idea of the Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke being used to show us that the Karbanot is all about Midat HaChesed and not about Midat Adin, that Hashem allows us to offer these Karbanot instead of ourselves. Maybe you'll think that the korbanot here brought because Hashem needs to eat. Talmud Omar, im erav lo amar lach. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Kili tevel moa. I own everything. Hashem says everything belongs to me. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I can take whatever I want. Benemar, kili ko chayto yar behemot bahari alaf. Yadati kol afarim viziz sadai imadi. So he says, I don't need any of this. I have all. This is a continuation of the pasuk in Tehillim and Jidalef, and then his pasuk Yud Bet that we just quoted over here. Then we skip the end of Yud Bet and come to Yud Gimel, which is Aochal Basaret Birim Vedama Tudimeshte, so that I can have whatever I want. I don't need anything that you can offer me. And do I really need the Basaret Birim Vedudimeshte? Do I really need to be fed and to drink? I can take care of myself. So Amarti Alechem Zivchu Kadei Sheteimar Asir Ritzono V'Asir Ritzoni. I didn't ask you to be Makriv Karbanot in order that you say, since we appeased God, therefore He will do our bidding. In like the philosophy of the Avodah Zarah, which somehow we appease the God and then the God does what we ask Him to do. That's not what the Karbanot are about. They're not about you appeasing me and then I'll do what you want. Lo Ritzoni Atem Zivchim. You do not worship for my will or for my benefit. Elo Ritzonchem. For your own benefit, atem zochim shenemar litzonchem etiz bachua. For your own benefit, you should bring them down. That the korbanot are brought for your own benefit, so that you should recognize, as she says, letzorach atzmechem lekayim mitzvotai. It should keep my bidding. It should take kapara lechem bekach, and that it should be a kapara for you. I mean that the korbanot are your benefit to gain kapara. They're for your benefit that you follow the tzivuy Hashem. Which happens to be a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, exactly about the pratim of Karbanot, whether they're really meaningful in and of themselves, or are they simply there so that people follow the Tzivuy Hashem. But either way, the bringing of the Karbanot is not for Hashem's benefit, for our own personal benefit, and especially the way Rav Soloveitchik put the perspective on it, is that the Karbanot are really replacing what we otherwise should have been us on the Mizbeach, and therefore they are all to our benefit, because otherwise we'd be on that Mizbeach. You must do it willingly and knowingly. How do you know someone who does something by kochim without thought? Meaning that he was working with something else and ends up shechting kochim, that it's pasur. You better know when you're doing the shechita that's for ben bakar. Amar lo zubi adenu. Who? We know that already. La'akev minayin. How do I know it's also me'akev? That if you don't have dat, it's me'akev. Tamalomar litzonchem tizbachua. Lidatchem zivchu. That you have to do it with knowledge. You have to be aware of the fact that you're doing shchita. And since it's kafala katuv la'akev. So we have twice that the pasuk tells us that you must have knowledge about what you're doing. Shchad ben amakar. And now litzonchem tizbachua. And that tells us it's me'akev. That you must have thoughts, perspective and understanding about what you are accomplishing. That, Baruch Hashem, we complete the Masechet Menachot, and that obviously the end of the Masechta says everything about our Tzvilot, that we have learned Zvachim and Menachot, that should be Ma'aleh Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kilu Kavnu, et Kol HaKarbanot and Kol HaMenachot that Hashem asked for us, and also the Tzvilot of Ritzei, as we say every day, that Hashem should return to us the Avoda and build the Beit HaMikdash from Hera B'Yameinu.